station from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cave. What a way to make your day. Sharing a cave is on the way. It's the 411. We're sharing a cave. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers. Inspiration from around the nation.
And one of my favorite talk show hosts is the amazing Sharon Kay.
You're so smart. Just, you know, I'm saying. anybody who says amazing and Sharon Kay, you're so smart. Hello, Nashville. All of my truly, truly wonderful people out there. And you know, you had to have your jacket on today. You know, it just,
it's breezy out there now.
Oh, it is. It is what it is. And, is this the opposite of last Wednesday?
It sure was.
I mean, seriously, because, you know, we just go through the Wednesday shock. You know, this is the middle of the week. Some see it as the hump. You know, I see it as other things. But it's just Wednesday.
Yeah, it's crazy. It,
okay. But we'll just roll with it, huh, man? At least it's not raining.
That's true.
Yeah, let me be optimistic. I see some blue in the sky just a little bit. Okay. I'm looking for optimism. Anyway, I'm so happy to have you all tuned in on this day, as usual. Taking you home with information and guests and traffic and news and whatever. Is the whatever, whatever rolls out as we take you home, get you there safe. I'll talk about the forecast in just a few minutes. And I like to start with my broadcast with my news from the community. I know you all are active and busy out there. I know. I see you itching, can't wait to do stuff and things. And I know, I can dig it. I have Trinita Kennedy with me, and she is the senior curator at the Frist Gallery and a museum gallery. I just call it everything. I just can't just say Frist, okay? Just say Frist. And then that way I won't tear it up, mess it up. And Trinita, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
As many times as I have introduced someone from that facility, my mind went out the window for 30 seconds. And then I come back and I'm from another planet, apparently. I can't remember anything. Anyway, I'm so happy. It's the first time I talk to you, right?
It is. I'm really happy to be on your program. Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Of course, you are so good. And we're going to be talking about one of the exhibits. No, we have the information running now on two of them. But this is another one that, to me, kind of fits Women's History Month. And
it does.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. This is just perfect. So knowing that's the case, the Alma Thomas exhibition, and you have been working on this project, and I think it's going to be there for a few months, but we want to get the people coming out and taking a look at it. So, Trinita, tell us more about the Alma Thomas exhibition.
Okay, yes. This is an exhibition called Alma W. Thomas, Everything is Beautiful. And this is about an artist who lived from 1891 to 1978. And she is best known as the first Black woman artist to have a solo exhibition at the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York. And she did that in 1972 when she was 80 years old. She is also the first Black Black woman painter to have a work enter the White House collection. So in 2015, Michelle and Barack Obama acquired a painting by her and displayed it very prominently at the White House. And so she really is this incredible trailblazer.
Oh, definitely. And they had it at the White House and we didn't even know. That is exciting. And what is that part of what people will see, that one in particular?
So the exhibition brings together 150 works of art from a lot of different museums and private collections. Mm-hmm. It's actually not possible for us to borrow from the White House. Only federal museums are able to do that. So, but we have so many other incredible works of art here. So many of her beautiful and big abstract paintings. Mm-hmm. And the exhibition looks at her entire life, from her birthplace. She was born in Columbus, Georgia, but she lived most of her life in Washington, D.C., and she was a school teacher. So the exhibition really looks at this creative life that she led. So she was an artist her whole life, and she was a public school teacher. She taught for 40 years, including at a junior high school for 35 years in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And so we see this whole, her creativity spans her whole life.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's amazing that she was 80 when she got her first exhibition. That is so encouraging for people who think life is over when you turn 80, because clearly it's not.
Yes, absolutely. She's so inspiring. And she she's also a real underdog, I think. She also was suffering from arthritis late in her life, and yet she was this prolific painter. It's really remarkable.
Well, and I do recognize a couple of these, that this one in particular, that is the pink and the red and the blue, the circular.
Yes.
Haven't I seen that on the campus?
Yes. So there is a really important connection to Fisk University. Fisk is actually a lender to the exhibition. And we start with this wonderful painting called Spring Flowers near Jefferson Memorial. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a painting called Summer Reflections. And I know that Spring Flowers is often displayed at Jubilee Hall on campus at Fisk University.
Mm-hmm. I figured I've seen it somewhere on the campus.
Yes, I've seen it in Jubilee Hall, yes. And so Alma Thomas had a really important exhibition at Fisk University in 1971. Uh-huh. It was organized by David Driscoll when he was the head of the art department and also the gallery. Mm-hmm. And he and Alma Thomas were great friends. Mm-hmm. And he's actually the one who recommended that the Whitney Museum present Alma Thomas's work in 1972. Mm-hmm. So we actually... Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say he was very instrumental. And all it takes is somebody to say a good word over you. And in this, you know, boom. I mean, that is really a wonderful thing to see. That. So they weren't familiar with her work at all, really?
So who wasn't familiar with it?
Was the other gallery that you were...
The Whitney. Yeah. Actually, the Whitney did know about Alma Thomas's work, and they had included her work in an exhibition the year before. However, it's really, in an artist's career, it's really important to have these solo exhibitions. And the Whitney had done very few exhibitions of black artists, and she was the first woman to have that honor.
Well, that certainly is, for Women's History Month, some women's history.
Yes.
And also some black history. So we have a two-fold on this exhibition. I hope that the folks will come out to the Frisch Museum and check it out for sure. You know what I like about it, though, Trinita, is the colors. They are so vivid and so beautiful that you can't help but just stare and want to see it. What are some of the comments that people have had? Because it's been, what, a couple of weeks since the viewing started?
Yeah, so the exhibition opened in February, and we've already had thousands of visitors, but we definitely want more to come. And the show will be on view until June 5th.
Okay.
And so, yes, the response has been incredible. There are some people who know who Alma Thomas is and are, you know, excited that this exhibition is here. And then there's others who are discovering her work for the first time.
Yeah.
And it really is very joyful. She uses bright colors that are applied in these kind of pats and stripes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're applied in, you know, circles and lines and other geometric forms. And they do kind of overwhelm you with happiness.
Oh, definitely. Now, what will you have there for us to view for the sculptures and the photos and things of that nature that we can see?
Oh, yes. So there is actually this wonderful display of items from Alma Thomas's home. So she lived and worked in Washington, D.C., and actually her studio was in her kitchen, and it overlooked her garden, and we've kind of evoked the interior of our house in our installation. And so you will get to see some studies and also things that she made, like a necklace, a sculpture of her sister, this wonderful mobile that it's very colorful, and a chair that she sat in. And so you do get this feeling of where she lived and worked. She was very interested in gardens, so she had a beautiful garden in her backyard, and then she loved to go to the gardens of Washington, D.C., so all those beautiful public gardens in the city.
Definitely. Which one won't we see because, or particularly I'm interested in the one that was in the White House, that was selected by President and Mrs. Obama. Is it more of what I'm seeing with the bright colors and the things of that nature? What is on it?
So that painting is called Resurrection, and the dominant color is bright yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a big circle. And there is a really wonderful poem, too, in our exhibition catalog, written by Ross Gay. And it's really lovely as well. It's called Study for the Resurrection.
Sounds beautiful. It really does. I hope that community comes and sees what all you have. Now, are you all, as with the other exhibitions, having the various presenters come or folks affiliated from other museums to come and talk about this exhibition? How does that work?
So, yes, we had the two co-curators of the exhibition come for the opening in February, and they are Seth Feman and Jonathan Waltz. And Seth Feman is actually our new director, and so he will start April 18th, and so he'll be around for the last half of the exhibition. But we do have programs associated with the exhibition. And we are partnering with Fisk University on a program in early April. And that will also feature Rebecca Van Diver from Vanderbilt University, who wrote an essay for the catalog, and then Jamal Sheets, who, of course, is the director of the gallery on Fisk campus.
Well, I was hoping to catch him, but, you know, if you got to move quick to catch him. He's got so...
he's a very busy man.
Yeah, and he's in demand like crazy. I'm like, excuse me.
I know.
Sometimes I just have to look out the window and run to the parking lot right quick. There he goes. Seriously, I'm not kidding. And I wasn't able to chat with him on that, but I'll be sure to circle back with him and hear what he's got to say. But anyway, Trinita, this is good, and I hope that the people come out. You said thousands have already come and by and seen the exhibition, and I hope more come to see. Now, this one here is on the upstairs upper galleries.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And I just want to remind all your listeners that visitors under 18 are always free. Children are always free at the First Art Museum.
Okay. Do you need an appointment for this one to come in?
No, you do not.
Oh, okay, cool. Are you all back to some semblance of normal there now?
So we're open Thursdays through Sundays.
Okay. All right. Well, I know when that changes, you're going to let me know, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Trinita, thank you so much. Could you please give them the website if they want to check on what else is there and what's coming? Best way to do that is?
So it's fristartmuseum.org.
That's easy. I can't believe after all these times I've said it. And then I want to call it something than what it is. It's okay, but I can't believe it. You know how you say something 1,000 times and then, you know.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, it is what it is. Anyway, Trinita, give everyone my best. And I thank you so much for your time today and giving us our news straight and directly from the community, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, you have a good rest of the day.
You too.
Okay, all right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Be sure to check that out. The colors are just so, I love them. You know, you feel inspired. Ooh, and couldn't we use some inspiration? Everybody needs it. Everybody knows it. We're going to get the traffic report on the other side. I want to talk about some quick weather. Adonis, it's time for a quarterly checkup. So, I needed some inspiration. I'm going to get some. I need my tune-up. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
So you're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Still heavy traffic on the South Loop, the West Loop. It's building pretty good. 65 down through Brentwood. Heavy traffic's stacked up at time 65 there at Metro Center and Rosa Parks. This traffic report brought to you by PensacolaBeach.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from City Winery, March towards spring, featuring four shows with the contemporary jazz music fans in mind. On Friday, March 18th, famed vocalist-pianist Olita Adams at 8 p.m. On Monday, March 21st, it's the amazing Osnoy Trio, featuring Dennis Chambers and Jimmy Haslip. Coming up on Thursday evening, March 24th, one of Nashville's very own, the Rahsaan Barber Quartet album release show in the lounge. And let the great music continue. continue to flow on Saturday, March 26th, as pianist producer Marcus Johnson is in the lounge at 7 p.m. For tickets and information, visit citywinery.com.
I can go from 0 to 60 way too fast.
Who knew electric vehicle owners were having so much fun?
20 or 30 years ago, I owned a gas sports car, and this car is much quicker.
It's a great, fun car to drive. When you put your foot on the accelerator, it just goes.
They're fun, they're fast, they're efficient.
Visit driveelectrictn.org to learn how you can start having fun driving an electric vehicle.
Sponsored by the East Tennessee Clean Fuels Coalition, the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
A fraction of a raindrop, 3 grains of salt, but up to 100 times more potent than morphine. The tiniest amount of illegal fentanyl is all it takes to cause an overdose. Fentanyl can be mixed into heroin, cocaine, pressed pills, meth, and other drugs. It could be in your drugs, and you wouldn't be able to see it, taste it, or smell it. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Already Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. And I mean that. Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. Now, here's how we're looking. Mostly cloudy for the remainder of today, but I'll take those patches of blue I see in the sky. I'll take them. And 53 is much better than 33, okay? Any and every day of the week.
That's true.
Wasn't it like 70-something last week?
It was almost 80.
Just mind-numbing. I mean, you know, it's like, Well, I guess that's to let us know what's ahead.
Yeah, right around the corner.
Somewhere, you know. Oh, yeah, I see you being Mr. Optimism.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
We thought that before, and then it didn't stay around
April
the corner.
April showers bring May flowers, as they say.
Well, we're not in April yet.
Well, you know.
So we're getting them early.
It's raining like it.
Somewhere, exactly, because it's coming back this weekend just in time. Tomorrow we'll go up just a bit to 60. And a couple of cool nights, though, in the mid to upper 30s. It's cold, still cold, though. We'll see some sunshine on Friday. Even warmer at 67. We'll take it. And then by Friday, it's just going to be upside down world. You know, this weather. 90% chance for rain during the day. Mm. 70 by night. Mm. Low at 24. Mm. What does that sound like?
I need to see in my grass. That's what that sounds
like. Well, it sounds to me like staying in the house, okay? So you're saying that's what that means to you?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's
those,
too, like...
those patches fixed.
Well, we're talking about, though, it's 24. Mm. You're going to freeze your grass. Not yet. Don't do it yet. No, because the seed will be all frozen.
Yeah.
No, don't do it yet. And then the birds will come by.
Yeah.
And you'll watch your money get eaten up and wasted. And the weekend is cold, really cold. Saturday, 32. The sun is going to fool you. You're going to think it's a lot warmer. And 18 by Saturday night into Sunday. And we go up to about 53, which is where we are right now. So on your way home, see some sunshine. You're glad to see it out there. And just do be careful. Ease on down the road this afternoon. Commander Chuck will be back in a few to give us an updated traffic report. Now, I said I needed an inspirational tune-up. And just because I knew that you were in the wings. I'm doing all this heavenly talk, right? Hold on. You know, I'm just going there early. But
you're doing it.
Okay, I have to try to make it do exactly what it can do. And it's always a joy to get a chance to talk to you. I said earlier I think a lot of people need some inspiration right now. And lo and behold, you are with us this afternoon. For those of you that are regular listeners of What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, you will know that this fine young individual is a regular feature on the broadcast quarterly. We get our quarterly tune-ups, and we get our pump you up sessions, our empowerment and encouragement from among many people, but one of them is Adonis Lindsay. And we're blessed to have Adonis in our area. He is a speaker, author, minister, great dad, and excellent husband. So, boy, that's a really good endorsement of you, wasn't it? I'm like, ooh.
That is. I'm writing that down.
I'm about to inspire you, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, from the time I have over the years, and from you bringing the kids into the studio, and they were perfectly ready to be here and had their gadgets and their matching headphones and all the things that they had. I'm like, look at these children. You know, let me have those lime green ones your daughter had, man. Those were so cool. But anyway, you are always on point, and I'm grateful to have you with us today. And how have things been since the last time we talked? The kids are back in school. Everything's going good. We made it through the holidays. And we're in the first quarter, almost through the first quarter of this year. And people are trying to really catch up, keep up.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's life. And life goes on, and life continues to move. And, the kids are doing good. They're growing. So if anybody that has small children, my children are 11 and 9, so they're at that age where we're having to up our game to keep up with keeping them straight, But it's a joy, it's a privilege, and, you know, everybody's healthy, everybody is positive, and, you know, just always thankful for where we are.
Well, and let me ask this, because I've heard various conversations about issues that some of the young ones have had around mental health and emotional issues they've had during the couple of years of dealing with the COVID situation and being their worlds being turned upside down. Have people engaged with you conversationally on that subject?
Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of time talking, especially, you know, speaking to junior high and even high school students in the educational arena. And, you know, and I think it's something we've got to keep in our forefront, you know, because a lot of times we use, you know, the thought process, children are so resilient. And they are. When they're younger, you know, they can get, you know, fall down, scrape their knee, but, you know, they're back, they're resilient. They bounce back quick. But I think we have to be sensitive to the mental health, and I think it's up to us to do that check-in with our young people. And that's one of the things I do, and, you know, when our parents come to me or even students, and it's like, hey, what is alerting you that something is going wrong or off with your mental state? And the moment you can begin to recognize that, you know, it's imperative that you reach out for help, that you talk to somebody, you know. I never take for granted that my children are just okay.
Right.
Because they're kids, and I know they've been affected by, you know, everything that goes on, that has gone in our world, Sharon Kate, and things that continue to go on in our world. They've been affected by it. So we're doing that check-in constantly. You know, when you look at the war that's going on in our world right now, it's like, you know, we check in with our children. How are you feeling about that? You know, and the other day, it's like, you know, my little daughter thought, okay, is this right in our backyard? Where is this at? How far away? Mm-hmm. You know, but that let us know she's thinking about that. So those are good conversations to have, mm-hmm. and to help them process.
Yeah, because it's
to hear their feelings.
It, Adonis, grown-ups are having a hard time with processing this
because
of the level of cruelty that is in the person who started it in the first place, and that he is relentless with the cruelty. And I think it's just, you know, it just makes people feel a certain kind of way. So I imagine the young ones are really having a struggle with trying to understand this, because they're seeing other children on the news if they are experiencing any news or whatever. And they see other kids struggling for their lives or going to freedom or going to a safe place, becoming a refugee and things of that nature. And that's got to be a very different and interesting time for them. Do yours and other children and the ones that you've spoken to, do they want to ask questions, or they just want to get things off their chest? Or how do they, what are you hearing out there?
Well, I think they have questions, because at the end of the day, you know, they hear other kids talk about it at school.
Okay.
Or so, you know, they come home with the questions. And I'm, you know, I've come across other kids that have come home with these questions because they're looking for something to make sense. And they're hearing it from different people's perspectives. They're hearing it from their peers who've heard it from their parents. Mm-hmm. So you gotta process all of that. So I look at the silver lining, like, at least they're coming home with questions, mm-hmm. and we can answer those, you know, together. That's the thing, Sharon Kay. You know, when I deal with my children, I want to get them to come to a conclusion on their own as well. Mm-hmm. So they're not just, you know, well, I'm going to believe that because Daddy believes that. But let's walk through this together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do you feel about that? And on another side, it's really helped me as a parent, my wife as a parent, to be able to talk to our kids about, you know, where they are in America right now. Because when you, like you said, when you see, you know, kids on the news and they're leaving everything behind, mm-hmm. trying to get to safety, mm-hmm. then those are conversations that I engage with my children. Now, how do you think that young person feels, mm-hmm. you know? Should we be praying for them, or should we be upset because we said you can't go to the birthday party? Hmm. Hmm. You know, what should we be doing in this moment?
Yeah.
So you know, let's bring things back into perspective.
Okay, so you're giving them a balanced approach, and I'm grateful that at least you do that, because some people may not give them an option to even think to that degree. Because I've seen some really strange and bizarre parenting with, you know, some of the folks of today's realm where, you know, you take your kid to the insurrection. I mean, you know, really?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Show them the way. So, I mean, it's swing
with weapons.
Yes, of course. And that's the leading the way they only know how. And that's one of the things about, you know, hoping that there are some out there that really do have conversations and are rational to help their kids versus, you know, leading the worst example as humanly possible for human behavior. And so as you all have the conversations with them, and, you know, let me tell you, too, because, you know, I know, because your kids are young, you are certainly able to get that blueprint started. Does that make, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And I think with that, it's, you know, taking that initiative, because, you know, I look at my children, they're 11 and 9, but they're so much further advanced than when I was that age.
Sure.
Because of the world we live in, you know, they have access to so much information that is constantly trying to fill their minds, their brains. And so I think as parents, it's good for us to be proactive and to take that, you know, not put that responsibility on the news media to educate our children, not put that responsibility just on public education to educate our our children when it comes to real life stuff. And so we just kind of stepped in there, and it's like, you know, there's times we have to talk to them like they're adults because they do understand. I think a lot of times, you know, and I've seen this, Sharon Kay, in the secular arena and also in the Christian arena in church. But it's like we think because they're children, we've got to bring it down to their level. They're so much advanced that, you know, my daughter, when she wants to know how to do something, you know, she'll grab her tablet and Google it, and they're not dumbing down the information.
Right.
They're giving it to
yes.
So we take that approach. We're going to talk to y'all like you're adults when it comes to serious issues, but we're going to let you, we're going to lead you and guide you, but we're going to let you formulate your thought process on that.
Well, and it's important, you know, because of the tools that they have at their disposal now, you know, they growing up in a world where they can, you know, get a tablet or a phone and look up something and have so much wrong information there that it does bring about a world of confusion. And for that reason, there's got to be a place to sound it out, or, you know, if you have that kind of talking relationship with them. And when they get to be teenagers, they're going to go completely deaf on you. And they're going to be like,
we're
I don't really know.
Before that happens,
yeah. Because that's when the little hormones get to raging, and
their
friends are more important than anything, and they just won't hear you anymore. And, it's something happened to them. I mean, you know, now that all my kids are way out of that now, and I was like, who are you? When I would get home, I don't recognize you. Who are you?
Exactly.
I must have picked up the wrong kids. but now that, you know, she was on the other foot and they are raising kids and grandkids, My, it's amazing how smart Mama really was all the time.
That Mama, right. Mama, I'm so thankful for you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny that you mentioned that because, you know, my son's older, so, and, you know, X, you probably get this too. It's like, we recognize when it comes to, like, their friends and people, you know, and I can reckon, like, okay, I don't think that friend is for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see stuff. And so trying to communicate that to a child, uh-huh. You know, my son was like, Dad, why you don't like so-and-so? Or do you think you're picking on? Yeah. And so, you know, I got to the point, it's like, it's not that Daddy doesn't like them. Daddy sees some stuff
mm-hmm.
that you can't see right now. You know? And I said, you know, Daddy's got your back. I'm for you as a parent. I see some things about this person that are not good for you. And it's so funny because as time went on, my son saw it for himself. And then he came back and said, you know, Dad, you were right about so-and-so.
Well, that's good. That's good. He was able. He came back to you and said that. I mean, that's really overwhelming, Adonis. I mean, you know, pat yourself on the back. You know, ooh, son.
But It took a while. It took him seeing this kid do some stuff over and over and over, and finally, it snapped inside my son. It's like, Dad was right. I see it.
Yeah, you earned
you know?
That badge. All right.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, and those are the one most wonderful days of when growing up. And, you know, when they're growing up is when they do honestly feel that way and say that way. And I see it myself in my own grown kids when they start saying some of the same stuff. That they, you know, I seem like I remember that comment one day I said it. Where'd you get
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That is pretty much a part. And many of you out there listening, you all know it. You've experienced it, or you have family growing up around you or grandkids, and you're experiencing it now. And I think the best part is when you're on the other side and they're grown. there's nothing finer. To be in Carolina, you know, it's nothing finer than that. Ooh. I mean, you know, to have raised them and they, nothing finer. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, you shall find out. And but that is the other side of this, because the grandparents come in handy, too, to be able to help the young ones understand. If you have a question or comment, you want to be in our discussion this afternoon. We are talking about some empowerment and some inspiration and sending some words out to keep the young ones encouraged. Because it's a confusing time. You all know it. The grown folks are confused, you know. The young ones are. At least on seeing the human behavior. Our number is 615-329-8810. That's 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Still heavy traffic to the north on 65 trying to get up into Goodlettsville. It's been slow because of that wreck. 40 east at Spence Lane, 24 east near the Sullivan Evans Bridge, trying to clear up that crash, putting out a car fire. 65 northbound near 440. This traffic report brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from the Frist Art Museum, now presenting an exhibition of works by Nashville-based artist Alexander Bryant, addressing themes of perseverance, family, economic inequality, and community activism. This multimedia exposition includes photography, video, wheat paste murals, and a concrete installation piece created exclusively for this show. The Frist is open Thursdays through Sundays, and the exhibition is on view through May 1st. Learn more about the expositions and programs at fristartmuseum.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And 411 shows empowerment. Team member Adonis Lindsay is back for his quarterly check-in. We needed to go get, I used to write this thing a long time ago on my website when I had extra 5 minutes a day. Now I don't have it. I'm down to 30 seconds. I only have 30 seconds. What do you want? You better not use more than 10. And that's how it is. Everything schedules is boom, boom, boom. I used to have this thing I did. I wrote on there called The Faith Filling Station. And it was just little short pieces that I would write, you know, like little pick-me-ups. When I had the time to be able to do that, because I do think that that people do need a faith fill up, and they need a, like, you go get an electric car and plug it in. They certainly need a plug in, especially during times like now, when we're having to deal with so much flying around us and things we can't explain and don't know how to our loved ones. That's kind of sort of the nature of what we're talking about. And Adonis, during the break, I know in the first portion of this conversation with you, I was talking about the children in Ukraine and the children that are have become refugees and are fleeing for their lives. And one of the things I wanted to mention is this story, this AP story that fell on about there being a million children that have been displaced from their lives and their friends and are on basically have been on the run. And this one boy in particular that this story is about your son's age. He is 10 years old. He's from Kharkiv in eastern Ukraine. And because they've been going by foot, by train, and the thought of hearing the bombs fall and, you know, the fear that, you know, fear is, you can feel it. You know, people can feel what's going on and the distress. They know that. It is hard, though, to hide that from children. They absorb. It seems to me like they absorb some of, you know, what it is that we
The emotions, for sure, yeah.
Oh, definitely. When you've been out in your speaking engagements and things of that nature, what kind of things do you tell them to, in case folks do come from families that don't have a cohesiveness to them, or they don't have that kind of family that they can really talk to?
Yeah, you know, in the arena, when I stepped into like a school or college or, you know, high school, middle school, it's important because, you know, some of the students don't have that family unit, like you just said, Sharon Kay. And, you know, in those situations, I tell them, I said, you know, you look around you at who's in your world right now, whether that's a teacher, counselor, a principal, somebody that you know has your best interest at heart. Somebody who you feel like is for you, and I'm talking about an adult that you feel like they're for you.
Sure.
I say you have every right to go up and ask them, hey, I'm going through something. Can I talk to you? And I said that conversation is going to open up for you a way to deal with that and allow somebody to speak into your life. With what you have going on in your world or the emotions right now, or even the worry, Sharon Kay, you know, you come across young people that are worried. They see, okay, that's happening over there, but what's to prevent it from happening over here?
Right, right.
You know, we all could just be one somebody's decision away from being in the same predicament.
Well, that's one of my concerns for sure.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's your concern. And think about young people. They see that, and they're not oblivious to it. So it's telling them, you know, once again, and I always default back to my kids, I just feel like it's that responsibility to have those conversations and encourage them. You know, we tell our children all the time, hey, when you're going through something, we're here for you. You know, we always tell, there's nothing you can share with us that's going to make us look at you differently or whatever. We're here for you. So I encourage students and young people when I come across them, and maybe they don't have that strong family unit, but it's like there's somebody in your world that cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go back to teacher, principal, counselor. You have every right. That's what they're there for. Go up and talk to them about what's going on, you know, because, you know as well as I know, when you're that young, or even as adults, Sharon Kay, you know, the statistics of suicide rate that goes up when things go on in our world. And it's like, we've got to be that much more proactive to teach them, don't bottle it up. Don't ignore that emotion and feeling. You got to get to somebody that you can open up to, and I guarantee you, when there's that right connection, they're going to help you walk through that. Or if they don't have the answers, they're going to lead you to the person who has the answers for you and that can talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, as people move around and migrate all in after years of this and maybe move to another country or decide they don't want to be wherever they are anymore, if this many millions of people are may suffer from some kind of psychological trauma, they're going to be dealing with a lot of issues going forward. And already with the children, some are thinking that this experience could certainly put them at risk for having some kind of psychological trauma of war and seeking refuge.
Yeah.
That could have a serious impact on the lives of the people for a long time. And to be that many early on that will be displaced. Of the 2 million, half of them are children that'll grow up with that. I mean, that's a lot. That is a lot.
Yeah, that is. And you know, for those that see that, and it's like that weighs heavy on a person who has a heart for people. You know, when you see something like that, and the distance doesn't separate you from that. It's like you feel what they're going through. So, you know, I try to tell people when you are feeling somebody's pain, and you know that's a good opportunity, number one, for you to pray for that person. And we may say, well, you know, prayer is not going to change anything, but it's going to help you as well because you're feeling the heaviness and the weight of that. And you know, I'm a person of faith. I believe God can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when distance is between you, that's your moment. You know, to do what you can do. Pray for that, or begin to seek out organizations that are accepting the refugees over here,
mm-hmm.
and ask them, hey, what can I do to help? Can I donate something towards that? Can I donate whether that's finances or my time? What can I do to help, because I feel the burden of what's going on over there. And that is, you know, when I see that, and it's like, oh man, you know, it just brings a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we're here in America, you know, and carrying on with our day-to-day activities, it reminds me, never take anything for granted.
Right. That's true.
And it also reminds me, you know, I do have a responsibility to pray for people that are going. I can't just watch it on the news and act like nothing is happening.
Well, and I think that, you know, the impact of this one in particular, because we have seen other genocides play out. We saw them in Africa. We saw them in Syria. We've seen them all around the world. We know that besides the madman Putin, there's other madmen out there in authoritarian fashion. So we see it a lot. This one is just so far-reaching because it sweeps up across so many of the countries.
Yeah.
And the connection to the United States
absolutely.
Yeah, is really nerve-wracking. And just, you know, people are like, well, if God sees this, why he's not doing anything?
Yeah.
He sees everything. He knows before it's going to happen. And I bet you that's one of the questions in church that, or people that are not understanding sometimes how the Lord operates. I know that's got to be one.
Absolutely.
I've heard Christians say that.
It could be confusing. It's like, why is God allowing all this to happen, you know? And it's one of those things. It's one of those things, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, at the end of the day, we know God is a good God.
Yeah.
And there's bad things that happen in this world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, but still helping people walk through that, and because you'll never have an answer, Karen Kay, you know, as to why this crazy man is doing this stuff. You'll never have an answer for that other than that it's evil.
Yeah.
You know?
Evil is as evil does.
And that's it, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. And for that reason.
Is evil.
Yes, it is. And for that reason, at the other side of that, in a way, though, we are seeing a different level of humanity in terms of people wanting to do more.
Yeah.
because, you know, we have been doing more for everybody for so long. But, you know, with the folks, you know, don't have water and the child just died of hydration, dehydrated, and hadn't had anything to drink in a week and things of that nature, you know, that really does. You're like, God, it just, if we can come on, Lord, you know, just come on. And I know that most people are thinking that love the Heavenly Father, that, you know, could you move?
Yeah,
could you
yeah.
move this just a little faster, Lord?
Let's
most definitely.
Let's take the evil away.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Most definitely, please. And, you know, because of the things that we have experienced in just a real, real rapid amount of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It has people questioning a lot.
Yeah, and I think what happens when you see something like that going on in another country, and we see the ramifications that are taking place here. Now, you know, we're not being bought on, but you see the economical ramifications that are taking place here. And things like that. And so it still connects you to that, to where you can't just live oblivious to that fact that war is going on. And I think in that aspect, it still ties us to what's going on. And we have that responsibility to have those hard conversations. You know, it's one of those, you know, me being a minister as well, it's like, yeah, I get that all the time. Why is God allowing this? And this and that, and it's like, you know, you do what you do to remind people that God is a good God, and bad things do happen in this world, but we got to trust that God is still God, and that we're going to get through this in some shape, fashion, or form.
Yeah.
And we pray for the families that have lost loved ones. Sharon Kay, that's, to me, that's the big portion of it.
Yeah.
And families like that have been displaced, that have left everything. You know, it's almost like watching a movie when you see what's going on over there.
It really is. It really
and families that have just, you know, taken the clothes on their back and left, you know, not knowing if they're going to ever be able to go back home to anything.
Right.
So that's a, you know, and once again, I think that to me puts us in a position where we can really, okay, what is really important
right
now?
That's right.
What's really important?
That's right. Well,
you know,
and something else too, Adonis, that all shows should do is to let people know we never want to be like that. We never want a madman to run this country. Please, Lord. Because we could...
Exactly.
Yeah, that should be a lesson to everybody who is sitting there applauding Vladimir Putin, as some have done. Is that really, really what you want? And I think that everybody is seeing with their own eyes is pretty convinced that they like democracy a lot.
Yeah.
I just say we couldn't have had better convincing than that, for sure. Adonis, in my usual fashion, I know you know the Lord, and I know him, and I know X knows him, and some of my listening audience does too. And I always ask you to just give us a quick one. Get us home safe. Get these people home safe that's listening this afternoon. And these babies, you know, we got to get them on them school buses home safe
too. Oh, yeah.
All right, so you give us something to go home with.
All right, we'll do and appreciate you. Love you guys as always. Father, we thank you for the time we've had here. Just speaking words of encouragement and some direction to the listeners. And Lord God, I thank you for your amazing grace that covers all of us, Lord God, that covers this planet, this world, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you continue to be with the families that have been directly affected by this war that's going on, Lord God. Holy Spirit, just be a blanket of covering over them, protection over them, peace over them, healing over them, Lord God. And Father, as we are here in America, Lord God, just keep us in tune with what's really important in this world, Lord God. May we continue to love one another, Lord God, and lay down our differences and strive together for unity and peace, Lord God. We thank you for your amazing goodness, Lord God, that empowers us to do good to others, Lord God. We thank you for this. I thank you for the listeners, those that could be driving home. We speak safety, protection over them, their families, their children, Lord God. And Father, we just call them blessed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this, oh God, and we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. We say yes and amen to your promises, Lord God.
We can touch and agree. That's right, honey. I stay in tune with the Savior. You all can act crazy if you want to out there. I'll be on the Hello Jesus. This is Sharon Kay again. It is I. He is author of two books, Dating in Black and White and Next. And be sure to go to AdonisLindsay.com website to find out more and speaking engagements where he's going to be preaching, etc. And Adonis, you know, as I tell you, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's that, okay?
That's it. It is what it is,
yeah,
right?
That is it. We thank you, and give the family my best, please.
I sure will. Love you guys. Looking forward to the next time.
Love you, too. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And his last name is L-E-N-Z-Y. Adonis Lindsay. Okay, let's get the news, and then we'll be back on the other side, because there's more coming.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.